The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
We are going to turn to our Bibles now and our point in the service where we have a look at God's Word, and Tim is going to preach for us. After Margaret reads for us, we are in Luke chapter 7, verse 18 to 35.
Verse 18 mentions all these things, so just to give some context to that, it carries on from when Jesus has healed the centurion's servant and has raised to life the widow's son in Nain. So carrying on from there. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He is a demon.' The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children."
Thanks, Margaret. Hello again.
Why don't we pray as we come to this bit of the Bible? Lord God, in your goodness to us, you give us these words this evening from you. So we ask your help as we come to them now. Amen. Well, who someone is determines the kind of response we give to them. Right, I suppose for those of us at school, if our new form tutor walked in the room right now, we'd probably sit up and make sure we looked like we were listening. For those of us at work, if our boss walked in, or our line manager, I don't know, maybe we'd tuck in our shirt, make sure we said hello at the end of the service. If a fireman walked in, or ran in, we would probably all be on the edges of our seats, just waiting for what they were going to say next. Now, who someone is determines the kind of response. You know, someone that we love, we listen to. Someone with authority over us, we'll obey, we'll do what they say. You know, some randomer who sends me an email wanting to share their lottery winnings with me, if I just send them a little deposit, I'm probably going to ignore. Right, who someone is determines how we're going to respond. Are we going to listen, or are we going to ignore? And I think the root of that response comes down to the answer to the question, who are you? who are you? Because the answer to that question, who are you, determines what we do next. Are we going to listen or are we going to ignore? And I think that's at the heart of this passage this evening. I don't know what you thought as you were hearing it, perhaps for the first time. It's a seemingly odd interaction, isn't it? There are lots of kind of moving parts here, lots of people coming and going. And so what's going on? Now, Luke, so far as we've worked through his gospel, has been building a picture for us as to who Jesus is. You know, we've just had this amazing story that we looked at last week of Jesus raising the widow's son back to life. And we see in verse 17, just the verse before the one that was read, that news about Jesus is now spreading like wildfire. You know, the question on everybody's lips as they hear must be, who is this person? Right, who's this Jesus guy? You know, who are you? That's bound to be the question that they're thinking. You know, after all that Jesus has done, after all that Jesus has said, who is he? And in these verses, we start to see the fuller picture. Now, we see that Jesus is the foretold Messiah. That's what Luke shows us. And because he is the foretold Messiah, he commands a response. Who are you? And how you answer that determines absolutely everything. Now, this is the question on the lips of the followers of John the Baptist as they come to Jesus. This is our first point, looking at verses 18 through to 30, if you're following on the sheets. Jesus is the foretold Messiah. Right, the scene is set in verse 18. Have a look down with me. If you've closed your Bible, ping it back open to page 1035. Let me read verse 18 and 19. John's disciples told him about all these things. Let's just pause there for a sec. Margaret helpfully already pointed out, what are the these things? Well, this is everything that Jesus has said and done so far. And John, we'll get to him in just a sec. So calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? So John, that's John the Baptist, re-enters our story now. Sadly, really for him, not much has changed since chapter 3, where he was locked up in jail by Herod, the ruler of the time. And so he's in prison, right? And he's hearing all of these stories trickling in about Jesus, right? Things he's doing, things he's saying. And so he wants the answer to that question. Yeah, who are you? But doesn't John already know who Jesus is? Right, back in chapters 2 and 3, he's walking around preaching that the Messiah was coming. He was telling everyone, you know, repent, turn back to God. And so why now is he wanting to double check that he's got the right guy? Now, his words here are really interesting. He says, are you the one who is to come? The one who is to come, that's the Messiah. That's the Old Testament language for the promised king who God would send to redeem and rescue his people. Is that you? Or should we expect someone else? Because I wonder what John was expecting, perhaps. As he was hearing all of these stories about Jesus, I wonder if he was expecting the Messiah to be rejected in his hometown. That the Messiah, that the Holy King, to come and touch those who were ritually unclean, to eat with the lowest in society, to preach a gospel of blessing that in reality looks like poverty and hunger and mourning. The Messiah who, so far, hadn't overthrown the shackles of Roman occupation, but taught a gospel of love your neighbor and do good to those who harm you. Now, we don't know what John was thinking. But if he was anything like me, I wonder if his expectations of the Messiah were just slightly out of step with what the Bible said. You know, perhaps he pictured a Messiah who was going to bring political freedom to his nation, who was going to maybe get him out of the dire situation he was in, to shower him with wealth and with blessing in this life. Maybe, as he preached earlier in chapter 3, he was expecting a Messiah who was going to come in and bring swift judgment upon those sinners, rather than sitting and eating with them, as Jesus did. But what Jesus is about to do is he is about to point out he is exactly the Messiah that they should have been expecting. Because in true Jesus form, he responds to John's followers, but he doesn't give a simple yes or no answer. He tells them not to go back with either yes or no. But what he does is he points out stories, examples. He gives them proof, everything that they've seen and heard, that Jesus is the foretold Messiah. Look what Jesus says to them in verse 22 and 23. Have a look down with me. Sorry, let me find my page. So he, that's Jesus. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, to us reading this, this might just sound a bit like a highlight of everything we've seen Jesus do so far. Kind of like the match of the day. Just going through the reels of what Jesus has done. But to the followers of John the Baptist, this was dynamite. Because what Jesus here is, he takes the bingo card of the Messiah in the Old Testament and he goes and he stamps every single box as he works his way through. All of the buzzwords that would herald the coming of God's promised king. Jesus goes big on references to that king, the Messiah, in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, right? Written hundreds of years ago, it foretells what are the signs that would happen when God's king came to save. Now, Isaiah chapter 29, chapter 61, most specifically here, Isaiah 35. Let me read these verses from that book. This is Isaiah 35, verse 5 to 6. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Does that ring any bells? That is everything that God's people have been told to look out for when the Messiah came. Now, Jesus gives John's disciples this highlight reel of all the things that they knew were to expect, and goes, it's me. Just look. Look at what you've seen. Look at what you've heard. That's me. Jesus is the foretold Messiah. There is no doubt about it. Just look at what he did. That's what he's saying. Don't let that stop you from coming to me. That's what verse 23 is about. Don't stumble because of that. So John's followers go back. They take this message to John. And Jesus then continues to kind of build up this file of evidence he's got that he is the Messiah. Because what he does is he now turns to the people that are listening in, that are gathered around him, and he now moves on to talk about John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist might not fully understand who Jesus is, but Jesus knows exactly who John the Baptist was. Now Jesus turns to the crowd and he asks them, all of those people that kind of flocked to go and see John and hear his message, why did you go? Verse 24. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? Why did you go all the way to the desert? Jesus says. Did you go all the way to see the vegetation? You see that? A reed swayed by the wind. Now, this could be literal, right? Jesus poking a little bit of fun of them. Did you make that arduous journey, leave the safety of your home and your village? Did you go all the way to reconnect with nature? No, of course not. That's not why they went. Yeah, it's as ludicrous in that time as is a Coldplay touring at Wembley at the moment, right? Imagine if you are a diehard Wembley fan, you've got yourself a ticket. This was Rosie and I a few years ago. You've got yourself a ticket and you go to Wembley, and what you do is you stand there and you go, oh, that's a really lovely arch. The engineering is just marvellous. That's ludicrous, right? You don't go all the way to see Coldplay and just stand there and just look at the arch. No, you go to see Coldplay. But Jesus here, I also think, has got a double meaning. You know, a reed swayed by the wind. You know, John wasn't someone that kind of floated around preaching what the religious or political climate of the day wanted to hear. So if it wasn't nature that you went to see, and you didn't go to see John because he would say things that you really wanted to hear, what did you go to see? You know, Jesus says, did you go to see a man dressed in fine clothes? You know, did you go all the way into the desert to see wealth and celebrity and grandeur? No. You know, John wore rags. So if you didn't go for the impressive nature and you didn't go for the impressive clothing, why did you go? Jesus tells us in verse 26, but what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it was written, I will send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Now, Jesus says, you went to see a prophet. You're a prophet who was proclaiming good news. You went to hear the messenger. And what was his message? What was John saying? We get that recorded earlier in chapter 3, verse 16, that John gets up and says, there is one coming after me who is going to be so much more powerful, so much more radiant. I'm not even worthy to get down and untie his shoelaces. John was the true prophet, the final Old Testament prophet who was going to herald and bring in the new Messiah. That's what that quotation is from. It's from the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus is hammering it home again and again and again. He is the foretold Messiah. John the Baptist was the prophet that was sent to get everything ready for him. He was the warm-up act, and now the headliner was here. John was great. You know, Jesus is clear about that. He says there is no one greater than him in this world. See that in verse 26? Let me read that. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, Jesus says that John was great, but Jesus, as the Messiah, was bringing in a new kingdom, a better kingdom, one that far outstripped everything that John represented. Maybe it's a little bit like this, right? 100 years ago, the bicycle had just been invented, and it looked a little bit like one of these. It's going to come up in a sec. And this, at the time, was the way to get from A to B on two wheels. Right, this was the pinnacle of engineering of the time. But we look at that and we kind of laugh because it looks a bit silly. Because we're in the new age now, right? We've got bikes that have got wheels the same size, and we have brakes and we have gears. And yeah, if we went around here and we took the worst bike that we had, one that wouldn't even get stolen if we parked outside the station, even that is greater than that old penny farthing. Yeah, because Jesus is bringing in something that is far greater. Even John, who was awesome, is nothing compared to the least of the person in Jesus' kingdom. The evidence is overwhelming. That's what Luke is trying to do here. He's trying to kind of bury us under the weight of it. Jesus is the foretold Messiah. Now, who are you? The people are asking. And it's conclusive from Christ. I am the Messiah. Now, Luke, he's rightly been focusing on Jesus up to this point. But now he kind of pans the camera out and shows us everyone standing around him and how they're reacting. Because, yes, Jesus is the foretold Messiah, but because of that, he commands a response to who he is. Because a revelation of this magnitude that Jesus gives us here elicits a response, right? Jesus is making a massive claim about himself. And so people go one of two ways. When they get the answer to that question, who are you? They either accept or they reject. And that's the second half of our passage from 29 to 35. Yes, Jesus is the foretold Messiah. And the Messiah commands a response to who he is. Now, we get that in verse 29 and 30. That little editor's note from Luke telling us actually what's going on. Where we start to see the divide, right? The two groups there, we have all the people, even the tax collectors, well, they acknowledge that God is right, we're told. You know, they believe John's testimony about Jesus. They believe Jesus' testimony about Jesus. And then you've got the other group, right? Over here, you've got the Pharisees and the experts of the law. And we read, what do they do when they get the answer to that question, who are you? Well, they reject it. Those are the two categories we're given, only two, accept or reject. And Luke here, I think, is teeing us up to decide. You know, the news is that Jesus is the Messiah. And so how are we going to respond? Will people acknowledge or will they reject? Will they bend the knee or will they turn their back? What will they do? Because Jesus then gives us a picture of those who were starting to seriously oppose him. Right, those who were turning their backs. He says this in verse 31. Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in a marketplace calling out to each other. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking and you say here is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You know, Jesus here is giving us a picture. You know, when Jesus says this generation, that's kind of the people around him. The people listening in, the people who need to respond. And in a way, that's also us, right? Because we are, through these words, there in a certain extent, aren't we? We're able to listen in, to hear these claims of Jesus, to read of the things that he's done. And the people rejecting God's purposes, what does Jesus say they're like? He says they're like unruly, whining children that cannot be pleased. You know, they neither want to dance nor cry. That's that kind of little song there. You know, the bath is either too hot or too cold. The food is either too spicy or too bland. The book is either too long or too short. The game is either too boring or too complicated. No, anyone who has spent any time with any child ever will know what that's like. You know, they cannot be pleased. You know, look at their criticism of Jesus and John. We get this in 33 and 34. You know, John came as an ascetic, right? He didn't really eat much. He didn't drink. He kind of wore very basic clothes. He lived in the desert. John came like that, and you said he was possessed. He had a demon. And then Jesus, on the other hand, he came, and what do we get there? You know, eating and drinking, and you call him greedy. You call him a drunkard. What do you want? Jesus says. And yet, verse 35, all is not lost. This is a wonderful verse off the back of that. Jesus says this, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. God's way will prevail. That's what that verse is saying. Wisdom, that is God's way, following him, will be proved right by the followers of Jesus. Jesus is the foretold Messiah who commands a response to who he is. So what? I wonder what you think of this. I wonder what the questions you've been thinking about over the last few weeks as we've gone through Luke's gospel. You know, we've seen a lot of Jesus. We've seen him do some amazing things. We've heard him say some incredible things. And I wonder what's going on in your head. Because for some of us here, this will all be new. Perhaps this is the first that you've seen of the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you, how are you going to respond? Will you be like one of the people? You're hearing and acknowledging that, yes, God's way is right. Jesus is the one sent to save his people from their failings. Or will you ignore and turn the back? And for lots of us here, we have seen and known the Lord Jesus for who he is for years. We've accepted the wonderful truth that he is the foretold Messiah. And if that's you, then I think here are a few things to consider as we close. First of which is this. Let's not expect a different Messiah. Let's not expect a different Messiah. Now, remember that question from John the Baptist right at the beginning. Is this you, or should we expect someone else? Now, Jesus has been crystal clear to us in the pages of this book about who he is, about how he expects his followers to live and act towards one another. That is who he is. So let's not expect someone else just because we might find his commands hard or uncomfortable. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the only way to salvation. Secondly, I think let's expect people to not be pleased with what we do, whatever it is that we do. Right, people hated Jesus. People hated John. You know, whatever Jesus did was never right for the people that opposed him. And maybe there are some of us here tonight feeling battered by comments and criticism from non-Christian friends and colleagues and family. We are desperately trying to follow the Bible, but we can never seem to please them. Right? We can never seem to do the right thing. You know, those of you at school, I am certain you're getting this from your mates. You never seem to do the right thing, yet you are trying to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus. And I think what we can take from this is that if we're trying to live by the Bible and you're getting criticism for it, you're not doing anything wrong. They did it to Jesus, and so they'll do it to us. No, expect people not to be pleased with what you do, like those children in that marketplace. But, and this is where Jesus ends in verse 35, expect God's way to prevail. God's way, wisdom, will be proved right by her children, that is, by the followers of the Lord Jesus. God's way will be proved right by the actions and life of his followers. The truth will out. You know, Jesus is the foretold Messiah. And he commands a response to who he is. So let's respond correctly. Let's flock to him and see him for who he is. He is the only way to be saved. Let's pray. And then we'll stand and sing our final song. Our Lord God, we thank you for the clarity of the Bible. Thank you for the clarity of Jesus here in showing us that he is the foretold Messiah, that John the Baptist was the prophet who was introducing us to him. Well, help us to respond correctly to this claim that Jesus Christ is your promised King who came to save us. Amen.